from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 25th day of August, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. And along the way, we'll visit about the energy markets with K-State's Mike Wolverton. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on a Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby September wheat, 25 and a quarter lower, at $8.40 and a quarter. December futures, 8.64 and three quarters, down 25 and three quarters. And March soft red winter wheat from Chicago, down 26 cents at $8.89. Kansas City September wheat at 8.77 and three quarters. The lead there, 22 and a quarter lower. From the corn pit in Chicago, a final trade today at 5.80 and a quarter for the September, down 6 1/4. December futures, $6 even, 6.5 cents lower, and the March contract at 6.19 1/2, down 6 1/4 for the day. March futures, May futures at 6.32, down 5 3/4 this afternoon. September soybean futures today at $13.39 1/4, 18 1/4 higher. November's at $13.47, up 20, and January futures at $13.64 1/2, up 20 for the day. And the March soybeans at $13.77, 18 3/4 higher. September bean meal futures at $3.66.20, up $5.90. September bean oil at $54.52, 37 higher. August live cattle futures, $102 even, 15 cents higher. The October up 22 1/2 at 105.80. And the August feeders at 113.10, up 25 today. September at 112.90, down a nickel on the afternoon. October lean hogs at $64.25 higher. And December futures at $74.25, up 15 cents. Those are the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange and the Chicago Board of Trade. Both belong to the CME Group. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. The nearby crude oil are trading $114.25 a barrel, 34 cents lower. September ethanol at $2.34 9/10 is just about even for the day. Natural gas at $7.81 7/10, 2 7/10 lower. The RBOB gasoline at $2.88 4/10, up 1 5/10. And the heating oil, diesel fuel, at $3.15 3/10, up 2 2/10. September propane unchanged on the day. The October at $1.70, up 2 cents. August gold futures at $819.80, down $7.60. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 11,423. It's just about 200 points lower on the day. The U.S. dollar at 76.78 is up 0.04, and the CRB index this afternoon at 393.87 is down 0.83 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight in the north and in central sections, it'll be mostly clear. In the south, partly to mostly cloudy. A few isolated showers near the Ohio River. Lows will range from 48 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois to 65 in the far south. Tomorrow, in the north and central sections, mostly sunny in the south, partly sunny, a few showers in the far south. Highs will range tomorrow from 72 in far northwestern Illinois to 85 in the south. The extended forecast says a weak frontal system may be triggered over the next few days, which could bring along a few scattered showers and thunderstorms on Thursday. Overall, though, mostly dry weather expected through the coming week. Temperatures later this week into next week will run near to a bit above average, and that should help the crop, says Ed Mature. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the ag futures markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, you didn't draw the long or the short stick. I'm not sure which it will be to come with Dave Dickey and I over to the Farm Progress Show, but your stablemate there at Bates Commodities, Pete Manhart, will be heading out for Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa, not too long from now, I suppose, like I am.
Yeah, he's real excited about going out there. That's the best part about the business, to be able to go out and visit with listeners and farmers and producers and so forth. So he's excited about it, so we'll hold down the fort for him while he's gone.
Well, don't take any of his commission. How about that?
We'll make sure every penny's there.
I bet you will, too. So let's take a look at what these markets did today. Something of interest, at least I saw on the charts for the day trade in the corn, was that it was an outside down day.
Yeah, basically what happened was we made a new high on the move. We moved open above the highs we made there Friday and moved above Thursday's highs. And we went down below Friday's lows and closed below those lows. So if you're a technician, we sort of failed to follow through here on the uptrend here. So the key will be to watch it tonight, tomorrow, and see if we follow through. But technically, it's a concern. Need to watch it real close. Stochastic, momentum-wise, oscillators and so forth. We're starting to maybe start to roll over here. It's not giving a clear-cut sell signal right at the moment here. But with the big run we've had since August 11th in the corn here, we're probably going to back and fill for a little bit. Warrants watching the fundamental news. Basically, wheat was hit hard here today, spilled over in the corn. Corn-wise, we're expecting to see this afternoon's crop conditions report lose maybe 1-3% in the good excellent category. See what that says this afternoon. But probably the main feature was the midday maps did put a little bit more moisture in the forecast. So originally they were looking for a quarter to a half inch. They upped that from a quarter to three quarters, depending on which weather guy you watch, of course. But for the most part, that sort of limited the buying interest along with some outside markets.
While the corn and the wheat were both down, soybeans managed to gain today.
They were able to hang in there. This time of year, the weather's affecting the beans more than anything. These beans have been at a standstill in a lot of areas. A lot of areas missed the rain here over the weekend. We're getting to the point now we're just going to plain start losing out on time. So beans are sort of doing their own thing in here. We did see quite a bit of buying the beans, selling the corn, buying the beans, and selling the wheat. Plus, too, we're seeing a little bit of interest in meal. Meal's starting to take over, well, has been taking over leadership, whereas the oil's may have been losing a little bit of ground to lower world vegetable oil prices.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Wheat held in there quite well. They were on the defensive. Russia's talking about a little bigger wheat harvest. They're looking at anywhere from 54 to 57 million tons, up from 49 a year ago. Egypt government came out and said they have enough supplies for the next 4 to 5 months. So that sort of took the bullish enthusiasm out of the wheat here, as Egypt might not be a buyer. And plus, too, weather-wise, Australia, they've got a little better forecast for rain in Australia and Argentina also, Todd.
Okay, thanks much, Kurt, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. And his compadre, Pete Manhart, will be out at the Farm Progress Show with David Dickey and I this week.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Just a couple of reminders. As always, be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. WILLAG.org. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, inviting you to visit Dave Dickey and I at the Farm Progress Show this week. We'll be at the AgriGold tent and in the Iowa State Extension tent, where we'll broadcast this program live each of the 3 days. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa. We'll be broadcasting live from the ISU tent at 2:06 for the Closing Market Report. And during the day, four times on the first 2 days and three times on the last day, the WILL Ag Panels will be underway in the AgriGold tent at the Farm Progress Show site. Dave Dickey, of course, will host those. Jackie Vakes will be along, and Dan Zwicker, among others, including Chuck Shelby, John Oatey, Pete Manhart, and Jerry Gilden is scheduled to be there. A whole lot of folks for you to visit and see and talk to at the Farm Progress Show. If you're in Boone, Iowa, please drop by and see us either at the AgriGold tent or at the Iowa State Extension tent. Up next, the crops across the Midwest are heading into the final stretch, and the markets still aren't quite sure what to expect. I'll have a report that says from now until the crops are in the bin, prices in Chicago will be all about the weather. It's been an unusual year in the commodity markets. Demand has surged, and prices of crops like corn, soybean, and wheat have followed it higher. Matters have been complicated in the Midwest by some very unique weather patterns. And University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good says it appears the markets from now until harvest will ebb and flow with the weather forecast.
We've been on a real roller coaster weather-wise since spring, really a little too wet in June that delayed planting. July in many areas was almost a perfect month, nice temperatures, lots of rainfall. But now in August we've found ourselves in many areas a little bit on the dry side. Certainly central Illinois, east central Illinois is kind of at the epicenter of that. With very small rainfall amounts since the 1st of August. And so there is some, I think, late season concern about this weather pattern and what it might mean for crop yields.
The U of I ag economist says many were skeptical of USDA's August national average crop yield forecast of 155 bushels to the acre for corn. Now, with a drier August, he says most will look for that number to drop and for USDA to back away from its 3 billion bushel August soybean harvest projection.
We've got a fair amount of uncertainty here, and we know that August weather is important, particularly for soybean yields. And then in the back of everybody's mind is this is still a late crop. We're running 7 days, 10 days behind normal. Are we vulnerable to an early frost in some areas? So the weather market just won't go away this year.
And that means the price of commodities next spring, when the market really begins to think about what will need to be in the bin to carry the nation through the lean summer months, could rally and get geared up to point U.S. farmers toward a bigger spring planting season. USDA in August said with 155 bushel national corn yield, 1.1 billion bushels would be left in the bin at the end of the marketing year. And while that sounds like a lot of corn, it really isn't, says Darrell Good.
That's absolutely right that 1.1 billion isn't what 1.1 billion used to be when you're using 7 or 8 billion a year, but now you're using 12 or 13. 1.1 just doesn't go very far, and it means that we need probably a bit of an increase in corn acreage in the U.S. in 2009. And clearly, we need to have good yields again in 2009.
Good says the market recognizes these needs and will look beyond the current situation. Supplies of corn are ample now, but could tail off quickly in the coming year.
But the market is looking a year ahead and saying, you know, that surplus could disappear fairly quickly. And we need all the motivation we can to keep production worldwide at a very high level.
This would mean a rally in the price of corn and probably soybeans. It would likely come as the trade focuses on the ending stocks figure, especially should the size of this year's corn crop shrink away from the currently projected 12.3 billion bushel figure. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Monday afternoon because we're at Farm Progress Show this week in Des Moines, Iowa, and all our programming will originate from the Iowa State tent. We decided to talk to Mike Wolverton, who usually joins us on a Tuesday to talk about the energy markets, a bit early. He's from K-State and joins us now by phone. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And tell me about the energy markets as you see them. You've been doing some interesting studies in exports and sugarcane and ethanol based from corn contrast, I believe.
Well, my interest was piqued when I read that Brazil expects to increase its exports to the United States by 5 times this year to about 1 billion gallons. Last year, they just sent us about 189 million gallons, which was 44% of our imports. But looks like this year we're going to be buying more Brazilian ethanol.
And by how much? I mean, if that's the case, will it offset much in terms of production here, or is it just additional ethanol?
It looks like it'll be about 10% of the total ethanol that we use in the United States this year. And part of this, too, was earlier in the year, Brazil was lobbying U.S. Congress hard to remove those import tariffs, that 54 cent per gallon import tariff. They didn't get very far with Congress, but I started looking at that, and the purpose of that import tariff was not to keep Brazilian ethanol out, but to offset the blender's federal tax credit of 51 cents per gallon, which applies to all ethanol, no matter where it comes from.
How does that offset it?
Well, the blenders receive 51 cents per gallon for putting ethanol in their gasoline,
right.
And importers then have to pay 54 cents, so the net to the U.S. Treasury is about zero. Actually, they gain just a little bit.
Oh, I see.
It's just to offset the expense to the federal government.
So it's just an offset. So there's a 3 cent difference there, but the federal government ends up getting the 54 cent in payment and the plays out 51 of that back to the blender.
Right.
And then you looked at some other interesting things about sugarcane ethanol and some plants that are coming online in Louisiana.
Well, that's true. I looked at the cost of producing ethanol from sugar versus corn, and it's quite a lot less expensive to produce from sugar. And right now, there are 3 ethanol plants under construction in Louisiana that will be using sugar from sugar cane. Those plants will be coming online in the mid-2009, and then total produce about 100 million gallons. So we're going to be producing sugar cane-based ethanol here in the United States within a year or so.
Do they have any competitive advantage because of the sugar program? I mean, and I'm don't mean over sugar cane from other places, but over ethanol.
I'm not sure that the provisions of the sugar program will apply to sugar that goes into ethanol. I haven't checked into that, but I would be surprised if they can qualify for those subsidies.
Yeah, I didn't know whether that would be the case or not, but something to follow up on, I suppose. What else are you seeing in the ethanol and the energy markets?
Well, I calculated the profits today for my sample ethanol plant, and mm-hmm. making about 4 cents per gallon on ethanol. So even though the price of oil has come down a little bit, corn price has not come down enough to allow these ethanol plants to make a lot of money on producing ethanol. They're still making most of their profits from the sales of distillers' grain.
Yeah, that was my second question. How are you doing? Do you figure your profit on it, too?
Yes. No, not on the 4 cents per gallon. That's separate.
No, but on your DDGs, do you figure the profit margins on that as well?
I don't know. I don't have the profit margins on that because I don't know the cost. But distillers' grains selling prices have remained constant, so it seems to be independent of production. They found their way into livestock rations, and livestock producers see them as good feed ingredients and keep on buying them.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
I think that's pretty much for right now. We're going to continue to watch the import situation on ethanol. Another interesting statistic, about 54% of all our ethanol imports last year came from the Caribbean and Central America, which comes in under the Central America Free Trade Agreement. So, and they don't have to pay the import tariff.
Mike, we appreciate all your help today.
Good to talk with you, Todd.
Good to talk with you, too. Mike Wolverton is an ag economist at K-State. He's based in Kansas, joins us on the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon, generally, to take up the energy markets, because Dave Dickey and I will be at the Farm Progress Show this week. He agreed to join us early. Our thanks to Mike Wolverton.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Brian Stark of the Andersons online with us today to talk about the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's an interesting day again in the commodity markets. Tell me how you see it.
Well, I think obviously beans are the biggest concern right now for the trade. Thus, they maintain their gains on the day versus corn being tied in and kind of a follower at this point of beans and wheat. Wheat had a little more of a pull on it today, and I think that's probably the biggest reason we saw corn kind of see a sell-off towards the end. But without a good chance of rain in the forecast for this week for the majority of the belt, at least from Illinois west, the bean market's going to continue to be a little nervous, and I think corn at some point will continue to follow along with that.
So you think the beans has the upward momentum at this point, and corn will just follow through based on...
I think corn's connected to either one. I don't think right now that the trade, if you look at the yields, we've been hearing 153 to 155 where the USDA's at. Whether that's a given or not, I guess, remains to be seen. The bottom line is it's a comfortable enough situation until we can prove otherwise for corn not to be a leader. So I think, depending on what wheat wants to do, whether it's a speculator long controlling the motion... in Chicago, or its directive short-term downtrend because of the bearish supply, that's going to pull on corn a little bit, and then beans will as well. And it just seems the beans have a tight enough situation that the lack of rain at this junction of its stage, when we're trying to pod fill, has a bigger impact on the beans than the corn right now.
It has an impact on the bigger impact on the yield of the beans. The impact on the corn, I suppose, is that it will dry down quicker and may mature.
That's
closer
right.
to on schedule. Is that going to make the basis a bit weaker for corn?
Well, I don't think so, because I think the crop's so variable in the area, and there hasn't been a lot of selling. I mean, if you've noticed that as the funds have jumped back in the last week or so and propped us off our lows in corn, there hasn't been much hedging pressure against that buying spree. So I really think the basis is going to stay firm till we get a better feel for the size of the crop, and locale's going to have a lot to say about that. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to get weaker, but the lack of farmer selling may actually see a basis pop here going into fall harvest.
Your expectations for the best parts of the country, where will they be this year?
I say the northern third of Illinois is one of the better areas of the country, southern Minnesota, western part of Nebraska, there's a western half of Indiana. Those areas really look good right now from a crop perspective. Obviously, that's corn I'm talking about. Beans, it's really tough to tell at this point because we've had such a long spell here without rain. I think they could be good in some areas, but really poor in others.
And your bids for the day?
We are 555 cash corn, fall corn 560, cash soybeans 1334, fall beans 1277.
Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on a Monday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes with the agricultural weather.
It's National Pecan Tort Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1647, Dennis Pepin was born. He invented the pressure cooker. A safety valve of his own invention prevented explosions. Pepin also conceived of the use of steam to drive a piston in a cylinder, the basic design for early steam engines. In 1865, William Shepard of New York City received a patent for liquid soap. The proportions given were to dissolve 1 pound of common soap in water or steam and then add 100 pounds of ammonia such that the liquid thickens to the consistency of molasses. Shepard expected the product would be useful for both domestic and manufacturing purposes. In 1867, Charles Francis Jenkins was born, an inventor. He is best known as an early television pioneer, but he also invented the cone-shaped drinking cup. And in 1939, the first U.S. patent was issued for a disposable whipped cream aerosol container. Julius S. Kahn's patent was titled "An Apparatus for Mixing a Liquid with a Gas," and was specifically concerned with making whipped cream using an ordinary soda bottle. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Monday afternoon. Time to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is on the line. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Dave Dickey and I will be spending the next 3 days at the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa, along with, I suppose, 100,000 or more each day there. Will we have a good time and weather?
I think so, Todd. The pattern here across the Midwest, especially parts of Iowa as well, very seasonal for this time of year. If not even just slightly warmer than normal, you can expect high temperatures primarily in the 80s, pretty much low to mid-80s, and along with that, mostly dry conditions. Really, the only opportunity for some rain is going to take place the middle portion of this week when a front will cross the region. However, any activity looks widely scattered, and thus it does not look like any kind of major rain event for that area, let alone the entire Midwest.
Sounds like a really comfortable week to have Farm Progress Show.
I think so, Todd. Overall here, just, yeah, very pleasant conditions here, especially for this time of year, you know, the doldrums of summer. It can be, you know, pretty hot and in humid conditions, and with our kind of lack of heat and higher dew points throughout much of the heart of summer now, that'll continue this week.
Given that, it would be nice to have more than a scattered chance of a rainfall or two.
Yeah, and again, it all comes down to this frontal boundary that's going to be crossing through middle of this week, Wednesday, Thursday. But most of the moisture here is going to continue to get wrapped up with the remnants of Fay, which has been the case now for over the past week's time frame. And as a result, the Midwest kind of gets robbed of moisture, and that has now been a consistent theme here for several weeks, which is, you know, now beginning to impact soybeans.
Okay, and then if you look around the globe, what do you see?
Well, as we look out across the Atlantic, over to Europe and Asia, overall pretty quiet conditions across those areas. The one issue across China is actually concerns cotton and wetness across the southern areas of the cotton belt there. And then down in the southern hemisphere, we're watching Argentina, which has been very dry over the past few months, impacting their winter wheat crop. And now it looks like actually a significant rain event that will be taking place in the middle portion of this week. So boost the soil moisture there, but we are going to see at least more systems here to significantly improve soil moisture as we look ahead to the new summer crop planting season, which is actually just around the corner.
Okay. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
That's about it, Todd.
Okay, thanks much, Mark.
And you're very welcome.
You too. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report. Just a recap for the Farm Progress Show near Boone, Iowa. This weather this week should be mostly dry. There is a slight chance of a passing shower, thunderstorm or two from late Wednesday afternoon through Thursday midday. The morning start temperatures on Tuesday should be around 50 degrees with an afternoon high close to 80. The range for Wednesday should be 57 to 82, and the range from 62 to 83 on Thursday. I hope you get the opportunity to visit Dave Dickey and I in the AgriGold tent or the Iowa State Extension tent. We'll be broadcasting from there on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week in Boone, Iowa. You have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.